Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is presented by mybookie.ag and that if you use the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, that you will get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. And given that you are a listener to this podcast, I would assume you're relatively knowledgeable about sports, and I would trust you to try your edge on the online sportsbook. You can lay down some money and get in on the action at one of the safest online sportsbooks in the world. It's the only one that I am currently using. You can wager on all sorts of different outcomes on mybookie.ag, soccer, football, any major league, esports. You can even create your own player props, which is useful for me because if you know anything about me, I do enjoy a good player prop. So if you deposit using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, you get a 50% bonus when you deposit. And I will add this for listeners of the TakeCast. If you deposit using the promo code MATTEK and you send proof of it to me on Twitter, I will follow you on Twitter and you can have access to me via DMs whenever you want. That's the TakeCast bonus that I'm adding in association with the mybookie.ag deposit bonus. Now let's get back to the show. Hello everyone and welcome to the TakeCast. On this episode, I have one of my good Twitter pals, Mike Gallagher from RotoWorld on the show. We kind of just get into some general basketball talk, you know, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Lakers, LeBron, kind of the whole deal. Not a ton of super actionable information, just a, you know, a larger discussion of basketball, its place in American society, the wave of analytics, and some more specific analysis of the teams as well. I think it's a really good episode. I think you guys will enjoy it. If you only listen to the football episodes, I still think that this is definitely a worthwhile episode for you to give a listen to. Hope you guys enjoy it. Please, if you have not already, leave a rating and review on iTunes. You have no idea how much that helps. It's a huge deal. So just please do that for me if you care at all. That's better, even really, than putting money in my pocket. And without further ado, let's enjoy the episode. All right, everyone, would like to welcome my buddy Mike Gallagher to the podcast. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Enjoying summer league. About to slow down the NBA a little bit, nonstop free agency finals, but it's gonna start to cool down. So,
well, that's the big thing for the NBA. It's a 12-month season. Like that's their big edge over the NFL. The NFL has these giant dead spots where nothing interesting happens for months at a time, and the NBA, it's constant.
Yeah, August. That's about it. You get to chill. I usually go away for a week or 2 weeks in August, but besides that, like, there's stuff to do all the time.
And even sometimes in August, like, we actually got lucky this off season with LeBron deciding quickly, but there's been off seasons in the past where Durant has hijacked the off season before, and then I believe the Heat year, what day did the decision happen on? It was later in July.
It was July 6th or 7th, so it was kind of earlier. But yeah, LeBron's usually pretty good. This year he was exceptionally good. But thankfully it wasn't on July 4th to, like, ruin our plans, because we had Durant 2 years ago, Hayward last year. Last year I was working, like, I was just it was July 4th and, like, I worked for RotoWorld and I had to watch the news. I was, like, watching the news at a pool party and everyone's, like, going crazy and I was like, oh, Hayward, Chris Haynes had broken, and I was like, oh no, Chris Haynes, I gotta start working again.
Do you remember where you were and what you were doing for all of the LeBron decisions? Because I do. I have 100% clarity of where I was every time LeBron changed teams.
Yep, it's the same kind of deal. And Durant, I remember refreshing my Durant. When Durant went down, I was chilling on my bed. I live in the West Coast. And, like, I had Durant on notifications. I had Playership on notifications. I got all these things. I was like, come on. And finally did, so... It's crazy how, like, these guys just change our lives. Like, and even, like, LeBron leaving Cleveland, like, that's a bad financial move for Cleveland. It's crazy, like, because they're going to lose so much money downtown and businesses and stuff, because Cleveland Cavs are going to be hot.
Their economy is based on LeBron James.
It's crazy, dude.
So every time he leaves, it's this giant, you know, it's this giant. But, you know, his next contract is done, his decision is not going to have the same influence in the NBA. Isn't that kind of crazy that this is the last time that his decision is going to swing the balance of power in the NBA? Like, that's pretty wild.
I don't know about that, though, man. I talk about this a lot. How long until LeBron's, like, not a top five player?
I would say the end of this contract, three plus one. I would say 4 years is the point where I kind of envision him becoming like the Karl Malone, the Lakers. Like, he'll play, if he so chooses, LeBron could play 25 minutes a night probably until he's like 50. I truly believe that.
I agree. I've been saying 5-6 years. So I think after this contract, he'll still have a little bit of cachet. But yeah, man, like, this is definitely the one where this is going to be his last like top three or four players.
He takes such insanely good care of his body.
Right. That's the thing. Like, I was like, oh yeah, no one's ever done it before. Like, yeah, no one's ever done this before. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a two-way street where he's just like insane, dude. Like, we saw Adrian Peterson bounce back from ACL. Like, oh yeah, people don't come back from ACLs that fast. Like, yeah, you've never seen Adrian Peterson before.
I hope that LeBron has some sort of performance enhancing something, some sort of thing that he's taking or doing that allows him to play forever. Because, like, there's just nothing like watching that dude play basketball.
Yeah, I love LeBron and the Warriors, man. I'll watch them all day, every day. 60-point blowout, I don't care. I'll watch them regardless.
So I think that's a good place for us to start our discussion, because I think you and I are both on team. The Warriors are not bad for the NBA, and they're still enjoyable to watch.
Completely. The Warriors are going to sell out wherever they go. So that's good for even just carryover for other teams. And, okay, the Warriors are one team out of 30. Like, people who play DFS, like, you're really not going to complain about one team being awesome. But, I hate that whole Warriors ruin the NBA thing. Like, especially for us fantasy people, like, we care more about the regular season, if not more, than the playoffs. So what fantasy has done and what other things have done, the NBA is in the best place it's ever been. Like, the amount of money these dudes are making, the amount of money the NBA pulls in, like, multiple billions of dollars over and over and over again. It's just, it's awesome. I'm not going anywhere for a very, very long time.
It is. And even though Durant leaving the Thunder, you know, the team I rooted for as long as they were there, it definitely made me care way less about sports in terms of like wins and losses. Like, I consider, like, I still root for the Thunder. I still like the Thunder. I still ride for Westbrook. But like, I just, every sport universally, I just care less now. But I do, I can't even be mad about the choices that Durant is making. And I'm certainly not one of these people who's furious that Cousins signed with the Warriors either.
Yeah, it's your own fault if you didn't sign him. Like, based on what Mark Spears was reporting, that they didn't even have like offers, that may or may not be true, but yeah, like $5.3 million. It's a good deal. It gets to play in the championship and recover and get one more big payday before you turn 30. So yeah, it's awesome. They're going to be insane, man. And like, to what you're saying, like, I used to love baseball, football, and basketball pretty equally, maybe like 5-6 years ago. And like, now I'm like, I used to watch baseball. Baseball intake has gone down every single year just because it's not as good of a product as basketball is. And even football, too, for pretty much off-field reasons. But, yeah, the NBA is so, so good right now. And I'm obviously biased, but it's insane.
No, it is, though. The NBA is actually good right now. Like, there's a lot of marquee players. And I think people who are alarmist the other direction, saying that the balance of power is no good, I think the people who really care about basketball anyways don't care about that. And I think the casual fan, I think that the casual fan actually loves the Warriors' dominance. I think the casual fan loves the Patriots. I think the casual fan loves dynasties. And the Warriors are one. And also, worth pointing out, I think the Warriors run, I think the clock has officially started. That is my opinion, that the clock on the Warriors countdown is officially started.
Do you think that Durant dips out after?
I think Durant is a mortal lock to leave in the next 3 years. He might sign another 1 year contract after his one is up, but Durant is a weird dude. If you listen to what people say about him, people who in Oklahoma City, people in Golden State, what people say on podcasts about him, I don't think anyone really knows Kevin Durant. Like, there's all sorts of weird stuff about this guy. He argued with teenagers on Instagram. People even forget this. He was engaged to be married to a WNBA player and then like called it off like a week before. And like, he's a weird guy.
He's pretty unstable, like, based on like this personal. I've heard stories too. with like mean people, but I'm not gonna say. But I don't know. He's good. That's all I care about. But
he's an amazing basketball player, but I just don't think he has the. Not even a stability, instability thing. I just think he has no desire to stay in Golden State until he retires.
I think that the LeBron thing is like, oh yeah, you join a championship team, it's going to get to him eventually. Like, this dude has burner accounts. Like, he openly admitted to that. Like, he definitely is affected by how the media talks about him. He's going to get it worse than ever before. No.
He is. And this all kind of ties into a big theme that we've talked about on a lot of episodes of this podcast, which is just that right now, American sports, I think, in general, have a problem, which is that no one cares about baseball, right? Like, do you know anyone in your day-to-day life who would say baseball is their favorite sport?
Yeah.
I probably know two or three people who would say that, but they probably do not vote that way with their wallet, I would guess.
My brother, for sure, and one of my other good friends as well. Like, for sure, that baseball is their jam.
Okay. So that is a higher number than most people who I've asked that question to.
I could cry, but those are like two of like my close circle of friends, two of them are bigger than baseball friends. But I know people who, well, not so much out here in Arizona, but, you know, if you're not a football person, and I guess to take it to like a socioeconomical thing, like most white people like baseball more than.
Oh, white people definitely like baseball more than basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a factor as well. But, it's definitely declining. Like, you know, when the McGuire Sosa thing was going down, like, everybody loved baseball. But, it's trending down. Like, I've watched the fewest amount of baseball games I've watched probably my entire life, man. Like, I used to watch every day. I'd spend at least 3-4 hours watching baseball. This year, almost zero, dude.
I've been to one game. I've probably watched 5 games. Like, I even have MLB TV. Like, I even have the thing.
I have it too. I should have got it. I wasted my money on it.
Yeah. Like, I've had it every year probably for like 5 or 6 years. And this year I think I like bet on a Coors game. I like bet on a game in Coors and I wanted to watch it. And I think that's the only time I turned it on the whole year.
Yep. That's betting for you.
And
someone said that, I forget who it was, but someone was like, oh, the Panthers owner. He was like,
Tepper.
Gambling's not good for sports. Like, dude, what? Like, how dumb that sounds?
No, and I think that's an edge the NBA has. So this is also a question I ask a lot of guests, which is that, you know, the game of professional basketball is coming closer and closer to being a solved game, right? Like the Houston Rockets style, where it's layups and it's threes. And you and I probably have no problem with that from like a visual, like an aesthetic perspective, but I would say the casual fan probably does not like that as much. So do you view that as like an inherent issue with basketball going forward, that the mathematically correct style of playing the game does not appeal to the casual viewer as much?
I don't think so, man. I think I love seeing 3-pointers. Like,
sure.
I love it coming off screen. Like, I think the more you appreciate the game, the more you like this new style. But by the same token, like, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Magic are clearly two teams that are not into this. They want to go big. Even J.B. Bickerstaff himself, the coach of the Grizzlies, is like, yo, you guys play your way, we'll play ours. We're going to play slow. We're going to pass the ball as much as we can. We're going to milk the clock, get you out of position as much as we can in a 24-second shot clock. And, like, teams are going to go their own way about it. And like you said, obviously, the numbers say 3 is worth more than 2, to put it in simple terms, and getting the line – is good. So that's why you get close shots. That's why, you know, putting guys in foul trouble, getting the bonus early. There's so many positives for doing that. But it's still, I don't really, I think it's, I mean, I think the NBA is better than ever, like, just as far as like visually pleasing goes. But if I ever get in an Uber with a guy, obviously I start talking about basketball, and like the older guys are like, oh yeah, I don't like the way they're playing now. I like to play where it's more one-on-one. And like, I don't know, dude, like, it's a team sport, you know, and I just think that's more of a positive than anything else.
Well, what I get in the Midwest is they just, you know, they don't play defense.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's the one I get. And it's of course it's not true, and of course it's obviously racist. Like, there's just all these racist overtones. And then it's also just that, you know, in the 90s games were 70-65 just because it was the awful, gross, you know, 18 footers and
fouls and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was this horrible, unappealing style. Like, if you've ever met someone who says that that's their favorite era of basketball, they're just lying to you. Yeah, it wasn't good basketball.
Other reason, or they just don't know the game very well. But yeah, it's harder to defend, man. Like, if you see all these crazy complex plays that people run, and like I said multiple times, like to run the switch everything defense, that's hard on your brain, man. Like, you got to be locked in. You can't snooze for like a half second. Basketball is just so hard to play now. That's why we see such a, it's a great game, man. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It is a great game. And something that I think that it has in common with the sport that I believe will, I think that soccer is going to be the most popular sport in the United States. My guess is like 25 years.
It's a long view right there.
It's a long view, but my thinking is, and I've said this a lot on this podcast, so I'm not going to go too in depth, but just, I think baseball's dying. I think that the NFL is clearly starting to go in a way that people my age and millennials are starting to go away from it because of some of the political stuff, because of the concussions, because the players themselves are not as marketable because they have helmets on. It's a very obvious thing. And I think that soccer captivates the imagination better because anything can happen, because the game is so low scoring. Like, there's just a ton of variance that can happen in 90 minutes because the game is so low scoring. But
Brazil,
I do.
If you take out the two goals that Belgium scored against Brazil, like took that out of the video, like you would assume Brazil won by like 30. Or, you know what I mean? Like 3 or 4. But just magical plays, man. That's why we watch soccer. I don't watch soccer except for the World Cup, but man, I legit haven't missed a game. I don't tweet about it, but I've watched every World Cup game.
Yeah, it's like.
I have two TVs on. Like, I watch them when they were both going on. Like, I'm obsessed.
Like, anyone, I think, who actually does like sports and doesn't just like this tertiary stuff around it, sits down and watches a game of soccer, I think would enjoy it because there's just a lot going on. And there's a lot going on that you don't understand, like a lot of the movement off the ball stuff. It takes some time to get it.
Timing of runs and not running two guys at the same time and like all that stuff,
And I think when that stuff becomes a little bit more mainstream, like when instead on SportsCenter, if like little stuff, like even explaining how the movement off the ball created a goal on a top 10 highlight, like if little stuff like that starts to permeate like the overall culture, I just think that makes everyone enjoy watching the games like 5% more maybe. But the reason that I think this ties into basketball is I think both games are really great examples of how the manipulation of space is that's the whole sport. The whole sport of soccer and the whole sport of basketball really is the manipulation of space. And I do see 25 years from now those being the two big sports. I don't think the NFL as currently constructed, where you feel gross watching it as someone with a conscience who knows the political stuff and the injury stuff going on, or you're completely the other way and you're like a Make America Great Again monster who like is, and I think that generation dies off and definitely loses purchasing power.
I hope so. By the way, everyone go out and register for voting.
Yeah, please, everyone, make sure to register and vote. Definitely.
Those are great points, man. And like, yeah, it's team games, man. Like, I love team games. Like baseball, I obviously appreciate the strategy and that pitching and pitchers counts, hitters counts, and all that. But like, it's really not that. Like, once you kind of get it, it's kind of figured out. But it's just so much stuff going on. Like, I feel it's just, I learned so much when I watch soccer, man. As a casual fan, it's just really cool. And like you said, it's team games are way better, more entertaining. That's not true. Tennis is awesome.
Tennis is great too, but tennis is also another game that's about the manipulation of space.
Yeah, for sure.
It's about getting
probably the most than the other ones.
So DraftKings just added tennis for Wimbledon, and nice. so that this was not the first time, but this is the most I've ever paid attention from like the round of 28 on to a tennis tournament. And it was fantastic watching it all the way through.
Yeah. I haven't watched a lot lately because summer league, but Wimbledon's such a great, great event, man.
Yeah. So with that theory, future of basketball, where do you see, like, what is a big trend you see emerging that does not exist or that is just starting to exist? You could take a long view, 25 years, you could take 5 years. Give me your trends in basketball that you think are just now becoming apparent or that could become apparent.
I mean, we hit on a good amount of them. I don't think the three-point line's going to go away. Like, I think that thing's here to stay because the analytics factors are just, like, the reasons I said it. Like, it just makes sense to play that way.
Do you think they might move it back? There's been a little talk about that.
I mean, it's doing, if it starts to not do well and they really are concerned about, like, the competitive balance, then sure. But everything Adam Silver said, like, makes me think that they don't really care about that. Like, they're totally fine with the way it is. And I think they may, like, so the Warriors, like, cheat code on the salary cap, that may be a factor, but I think they can maybe ease it up when they make the cap a little bit harder on teams. Because obviously all these, the Thunder almost had that $300 million payroll, which they're going to obviously drop in now, but maybe just be a little bit more stringent on that. But overall, like, I think that what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, really since Steph Curry, like, changed the game, man.
He really did. Really, the most significant thing that ever happened in the last 10 years of the NBA is Steph Curry having bad ankles and being willing to sign an under-market extension.
That's a great point.
That is, like, truly the most revolutionary thing in the NBA. Like, if he just had healthy ankles, Steve Kerr might never have gotten that job. They definitely don't sign Durant. 100% Durant does not sign.
For sure. No question. And even, if you remember, Phil Jackson said they had a verbal agreement with Kerr to sign with the Knicks. Like, it's crazy to think about that.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, Kerr denied it, but, like, legit reporter, like, you know, Chris Herring.
Yeah. Chris Herring.
He's the guy who said that. He's, like, super legit. He quoted Phil. Like, it happened according to Phil. Whether Phil was lying, who knows?
Sure.
Or if he's, you know, twisting the truth, but whatever. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, but actually, with the Roto World, we wrote a draft guide. I found it like 4 or 5 years ago, and it has like Curry, is he too fragile, and all this. And it's like, no, he's totally legit. Yeah, and like the culture they've created there is so cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think some of the cult, like Bob Myers both strikes me at the same time as like a genius and also like a dick. Like he's like kind of in that sweet like VC zone where like he seems cool, but also he's so rich that you kind of hate him a little bit.
Yeah, he's a baller, man. Like they just like him. And Lakeham's a good owner too. Like he's obviously
Lakeham's a great owner. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a great interview on NBA TV. He says to Bob all the time, he's like, oh, yeah, we got to be better than last year. Like, how do you be better than, like, being said, like, oh, you know, they went 73-9. How do you get better? Let's get Kevin Durant. Oh, let's get Boogie Cousins. Like, it's just crazy. This team just always finds ways to – and also what they also said, too, was, like, we want kind of a new storyline. And they have it. Every year they have a new storyline.
Yeah, every year they figure something out.
They wanted to make the new storyline, ooh, Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, young bigs, and it just changed now. It fell into their lap, man. It's crazy.
Some of the stuff they do is not sharp though. Like the carrying of six centers last year, they could have used those roster
spots. They kind of had to though. Like they had to cut Caspi, I think. They didn't want to cut Looney. Looney looks legit, and they signed Looney cheap. That probably wouldn't happen. So in hindsight, I mean, there's really nothing they could have done, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I was like, okay, if we want to go way back, you're like, okay, you should have bought back Pat McCaw and not sign Nick Young. Like, you want to go back beyond that. But the
players wanted him. Everyone says that, like, Durant and Curry were like, no, we want to sign Nick Young.
Yeah, give that a try. So, but, I mean, overall, like, they really haven't had any missteps, obviously, other than, like, Draymond Green getting suspended in the finals. Like, that's really the only thing you can say. Other than that, they would have won 4 straight.
So, let's talk about their biggest competitor right now. I personally was kind of up in arms when they let Ariza and Luke Richard and Mbah go. And I didn't get one of my sharpest friends, Drew Dinkmeyer, was like, look, these guys will find wings. That's kind of what they do. And
I think they found one. We'll talk about it in a sec, I guess.
Yeah. Is that Daniil House?
No, it's D'Anthony Melton.
Let's hear it. Let's hear D'Anthony.
Yeah, he looks legit, man. They gave him high volume shooting. He's another guy who went with Drew Hanlon crew. What up? Markel Fultz, Mo Bamba, Bradley Beal turned his career around. Like, he worked with so many dudes, and really his three projects, just a quick tangent on Hamlin, is, like I said, Fultz, Bamba, and Melton were like his three new guys, and they all look like they're awesome. So, like, Drew Hamlin just has made himself so much money. He's like 29 or 28, I think. But yeah, Melton's nice, man. He's long. He had a time off because of his suspension for some bribery thing. But he looks super legit for the Rocket system. Like, I would not be shocked if this guy is playing 23, 24 minutes by like February. Like, he looks really, really good.
I mean,
Maury's super in the stats. He's like, yeah, he fell because we didn't have data on him. But like, we knew we had to take him. So he looks so, so good, man.
Like, Maury is like, he's like if someone from fantasy Twitter got to own a team. Like, he really.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I love Maury. He also retweeted me the other day. I'm super proud about that.
That's pretty lit.
Isaiah Hartenstein. He's been balling out. So.
That's actually, you know what? That's probably the Harden trade for me, probably even more so than Durant leaving. I was like, I remember where I was moment.
Ugh. Lamb and Jeremy Lamb, Adams and those guys. Adams has been solid, though. Adams has been really good.
Is Jeremy Lamb on an NBA team right now?
Yeah.
Is he still in Charlotte?
Yeah, he was minutes, though.
Yeah. He was never that great.
Yeah, he had that one DFS 14 rebound game, I remember.
He was usable in Charlotte every now and then. Yeah. So the other team, the Lakers. Let's just say you're political.
We didn't talk much about the Rockets. Do we think?
Yeah, no. Let's keep going, Rockets.
Yeah, I think they had, besides LeBron, it doesn't count. Like, they had the worst offseason, man.
Like, I think it's pretty brutal what happened with them.
Ariza's good, man, and the way they play with Bamute is their four. Like, they've lost most of their minutes at the four. Like, their most used lineup with Bamute was like plus 20.9 net rating. Obviously, they ran that Bamute at the five, Chris Paul at the one, with Harden on the bench. That was a huge staple for them. So that's out now. They haven't replaced him. James Ennis is not a viable replacement. They're going to be really thin at the four. I think it's going to hurt them.
Do you think that they have a viable partner to get rid of Ryan Anderson?
No, nobody wants that garbage. I don't think you can't play like Ryan Anderson. You can't play him at the five. You can't play him at the four. That was one of the
something made. Even more disastrous is they liked to play PJ Tucker at the five in some of those.
Yeah, I think that's a big takeaway. They're going to have to do that more because that was pretty against Golden State.
But who do you play at the four then? Who's at the four when PJ Tucker?
I guess Ennis.
It's like Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they have really nobody else. They're just so thin at forward. They'll find somebody though.
They will find someone, but I just think it's interesting that they push Golden State to seven, and it seems like this guy who bought the team. He was worth, like, I think $2.5 billion, and he bought the team for $2.3 billion. And it kind of just seems like maybe he bit off a little bit more than he can chew and does not want to pay that much in tax to keep this team together.
Yeah, that does feel like that could be the case. But, I mean, who are they going to sign, though? I think they should try to get Wayne Ellington if they can.
Well, they could. They had the rights to match on Ariza, right?
No, he was unrestricted. Capella was restricted. So they apparently offered four.
What could they? But they, I guess I shouldn't have said match, but they had the bird rights to Ariza, so they could sign him being over the cap.
Yeah, they could have definitely. But that, I mean, for $15 million, they can't swing that. Like,
no, if you're already paying the repeater tax, a $15 million contract is $60 million.
Yeah, it's brutal, especially when you don't have Capella yet.
And they apparently offered Capella a horribly. Like, insulting offer, like what, like Jokic got, or what Nurkic got?
Five for 85, excuse me.
Yeah, and Capella, like, he could get a max, probably, I would assume.
Yeah, but no one really has that dough to throw at him. Like, losing Ariza was rough, but if the Suns didn't sign Ariza, well, then again, they probably wouldn't have since they signed eight, they picked up 18. But, yeah, I mean, there's really no one that could throw big money at Capella, unless, like, the Hawks come out of nowhere or the Kings actually go after him. Like, the Rockets should feel pretty good about signing him.
It is kind of brutal, though, that basically I think this year is the year because Chris Paul is a 33-year-old point guard with multiple knee injuries who, I mean, the tail end of the contract he just signed is going to be ugly.
I compared it to Albert Pujols, where it's like the back end of that contract is going to be rough. But Chris Paul is like kind of anti-Westbrook, where when he loses athleticism, I still think he'll be serviceable. So like, yeah, he's going to be, 37 at the end of that. He's 33 now, so that's rough, man. And with especially the injuries, like the leg injuries, man, like he's going to lose so much. He's going to have to play like old school YMCA basketball. It's going to be kind of a tough sight. But yeah, the last year of that deal is going to be a tough one.
He'll at least be able to shoot, though. At the very least, he can go in the corner and shoot threes.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're going to pay him $40 million, like
to be Wayne Ellington.
Exactly. His minutes are trending. And he can pass, though, man. But like, you look at his minutes, just trending down. Like 36 in 2012, so going down. 33, 35, 34, 32, 31, 31. So like, he's already getting 30 minutes on the front end of his deal. So like, and the game counts keep dropping too, man. Played 82 4 years ago, 74, 61, 58. Like, those are bad trends.
Yeah, it's not great.
Their window's super small. It just shrunk even more.
I
don't think they have a window, man. Like, the Golden State's so better for this year for sure.
I think their window is now just pushed back to when Durant leaves and when Harden is 31, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what maybe their window's after Paul's contract. I don't know what it is, but Harden and LeBron will probably start trending down at the same time, I think. I don't know if that's a hot take or not.
Well, Harden is like one of those guys who everyone thinks is fat and not athletic, but his athleticism is he like decelerates better than anyone in the NBA. Sure. That's like his like elite. That is his elite skill that can't be taught that he just has inherently.
Yeah. I looked at the stat for the combine. They did the body fat percentage. I think he's like the only guard that is like still in the league that had over 10% body fat, which is insane. Point being, like I'm trying to make is like, people freaking out about Doncic being a little overweight, like chill, dude. He'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, he's 28. He'll probably start trending down at like what, 33, 34, 33, I guess. So
yeah, but he will. He will also. I have supreme confidence that he will tailor his game to getting old. Not that I think he'll go into the gym and figure it out. I just think that he's sort of one of those guys who I would he's similar to like a 1980s pitcher where like all the dude did was drink beer and play golf, but then once every 5 days he showed up and just, you know, put a shift in. That's like James Harden. Like James Harden does not have to work that hard at being great at basketball to be great at basketball.
He's been insanely durable, like game counts.
He never gets hurt.
78, 73, 81, 82, 81, 72. Like, and minutes, 38, 38, 37, 38, 36, 35. So, like, he's rolling. And no serious injuries, too, so I'm like Chris Paul.
So, you're Rob Pelinka. You have the Lakers roster that you have. You have JaVale, you have Lance, you have Rondo, you have Ball, you have Ingram, you have Kuzma, you have Hart, you got the Dang contract. You have the picks that you have. What are you doing in the next 3 years while LeBron James is under contract to get the Lakers to a finals to maximize this time that you have with LeBron James?
First, I don't think LeBron's going anywhere for the rest of his career. I think he's going to play with the Lakers for the rest of his career.
I imagine he will go back and play one more season in Cleveland.
Really?
I think that he hates Dan Gilbert, but he does love – I think more than anything, he loves the narrative that he brought a championship to Cleveland. That,
for sure. That's all he cares about, though, I think.
Yeah, but I do think he will go back and play one more season there. But
yeah, I'm not saying like LeBron is a person, but like I think that him getting a championship for Cleveland is all he's done. He played a great season last year. Like, I don't think he owes anything to Cleveland.
No, he owes nothing to Cleveland. I just think that's his deal personally, that he would like to go back and retire there.
Yeah, I would disagree. Unless like he hates LA or something, which I don't think he will.
Yeah, I could totally see myself being wrong. Like I think it probably even makes more sense for him to just play in LA for like 5 or 6 more years and then just call it quits.
I think it'd be more likely him to go to Clippers, be like, oh yeah, I want a team for a team that's been terrible. Like I think that's more likely than the Cleveland scenario.
Do you think that he stays until his kid can play in the NBA?
I love that story. I think so, yeah. Man.
I want him to play with his kid. That would
Four
be
against, yeah. Well, LeBron's good. LeBron Jr. is 13.
Yeah.
So 6 more years. Like, LeBron's going to be playing in 6 years.
Totally, he'll be playing in 6 years.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be – and that's crazy that that's going to affect the draft, I think.
Definitely it will.
You would take LeBron Jr. if it helped your chances getting LeBron, like if you're picking high in the draft.
Absolutely. That's like not – yeah, it's not even a question.
For sure. So I guess back to the original question you said. Yeah, man, like I hate their offseason besides LeBron. Obviously, that's a huge thing to take out of the equation. But, like, everyone knows, like, you put shooters around LeBron. Like, that's not breaking news. And they put, like, terrible shooters around him. Like, Rondo, historically bad shooter.
What do you make of the report that LeBron was like, look, I don't want to have the ball in my hands all the time anymore, so these are the guys I want? Because what's happened is LeBron has basically proven himself time and time again to be bad at talent evaluation.
It's true.
And roster construction.
Well, I don't know. I think he played it right in Cleveland. Do you think he's nefarious enough where he'd be like, yo, you know, we're sitting in a dark room, like, plotting an evil scheme to ruin Cleveland's cap space and help out the Lakers? Like, do you think he was nefarious enough to do that?
I want to think that he thinks things ahead that far, just because, like, LeBron James is, like, basically a superhero to me, more or less, you know?
Same.
And so I kind of want to believe that that is true, but I don't know if it is 100%. It would be amazing if it was, though. If he and, you know, Clutch Sports and Rob Pelinka had been in contact and be like, look, this is what we're doing. I'm going to get this team to the finals. We're not going to beat the Warriors. So we're going to take on this cap for you.
Yep. I feel like that happened, though. Because it's set up so perfectly to get off that Clarkson contract. Nance is fine, but getting off his contract, like, it was definitely almost like a win double lose to lose LeBron and then take on the bad money. Like, their cap space is totally screwed, the Cavs now.
So another thing that just happened while we were on this podcast, well, like,
just with the Lakers really quick, like, I think the plan is just to, like, they're whiffing this year hard. I think missing out on Paul George was a stunner. So I think they're just pretty much going to hold on for a year and then go after Kawhi next year.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't Kyrie. See that coming with him at all. They didn't see that coming with Paul George.
They didn't. Yeah, I think that was the plan. It's like, all right, we'll get George, and if this didn't happen, it's like, okay, cool, we missed this year. There's so many guys coming on the books next year, off the books next year. So, like, you know, sit tight. Maybe we have a magical season, but I think we're going to make – like Magic said, like, whether it's this year or next year, this team's going to be sick. So I think he's right. I think the Lakers are going to be really good in 2 years.
So would you would not trade what the Spurs are offering to get Kawhi?
I don't think so. I mean, for what they want. Like, if it's just, like, Ingram and a first or second round pick, sure. Doesn't mean you're not going to be able to afford him anyways. But as far as, like, unloading your roster, yeah, I don't think it's worth it. Like, the Spurs are going to – I don't think anyone's going to be able to retain Kawhi. Like, the fear is what happened with Paul George, obviously. Like, okay, maybe he gets away. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Just while we were on this podcast, like, last, like, 3 or 4 hours, odds got posted or odds got updated for where Kawhi will play this next year, and the Raptors moved to even money.
I saw that.
What is that about? Like, what package would they offer that the Spurs would want, and why would they? I don't understand that from a. I guess just because the Eastern Conference is so wide open that they think, okay, we get to the finals and lose to the Warriors with Kawhi.
Dude, I said this before. Nobody knows what the Spurs are doing. Like, we saw Phoenix come up there for the odds of getting Kawhi. Like, and this year was by far probably, like, as far as reporting goes, like, Woj is the man. But, like, he missed on the Kawhi news, like, 3 times. Like, he was like, oh, Kawhi's playing this day. Nope. Oh, Kawhi's playing this way. Nope. Like, no one has a pulse in this team. That's by design. So
Kawhi ran away from the Spurs people. That's the that's the wildest NBA story I've heard in a long time.
And like just more details on that. Like, he was working out in New York, and the Spurs front office people went out there, and like his people like pulled him away. It's wild, dude.
That's the MC. This is also another reason why the NBA is totally the sport of the future. There nothing like this happens in the NFL, and if it did, the player would just get cut. The way the contracts work,
you'd
just get cut. If you behaved this way as an NFL player, you would be employed by a different team by the end of the week.
like NBA offseason is better than like any regular season. It's not even NBA offseason better than regular NBA season, man.
The NBA offseason is my second favorite sport behind professional European soccer, easily.
Nice. Yeah, it's an dude.
Like I definitely watch the NBA casually. Like I probably watch 3-4 games a week, I would guess. I always watch the TNT games. I have League Pass, but I don't watch it every night. But NBA offseason, I'm listening to the Dunked On podcast every day. Like I'm there. I'm there for the draft. I'm there for all of it. July 1st is a, you know, national holiday.
Yep. Oh, for sure, man. Apparently it turns 9 o'clock my time. Oh, by the way, quickly, East Coast people, man, you gotta stay up late this year. All the good games are late.
Oh, it's all Western Conference. Eastern Conference basketball so bad.
Yeah. What is it? 10 of 16 last All NBA players are in the Western. I think maybe more. I think it's like 11 or 12. It's insane how skewed it is. Like it's pretty much Giannis, Kyrie, and like Oladipo. Like that's it.
Jason Tatum.
True. Tatum.
That's
Kyrie leaves too. What if Kyrie leaves out next year?
Kyrie apparently wants to leave.
Yeah. Knicks or something, but he may go to the Lakers, man.
That's actually my prediction, by the way, is that Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks after this Warriors contract is done.
Yeah, I think that's a good to get him his own title team.
Two years from now, they'll have all those bad contracts off the books, basically. Yeah. They'll have no bad money. The Noah stretch will be done. So it'll just be Porzingis and Durant, basically, and then they can kind of just go from there.
Provided Hardaway off there, that he's got what, 3 more?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, but yeah. He'll be an expiring.
No, what they should do is the Kings just missed on Zach LaVine. Just trade Hardaway Jr. to the cap space. Like that's
would
what
the, King, would the Kings even do that?
Maybe, man. They're the Kings. Never know.
The Kings should move to Seattle and be owned by new people.
They're starting to do better, man. Like, they're done with their whole European wave thing. Like, I think Giles is going to be a good pick. I hate the Bagley pick, though.
Yeah, he seems like the classic Marvin Williams guy who will just never have a position and never really work out.
Yeah. He wants to play the 3. He wants to play the 5. He cannot. Like, Ryan McDonough for the Suns, he's like, yo, he's got a straight 4. And it looks like, for how good Wendell Carter Jr. looked, if we're going to talk somewhat, he looked ridiculous.
Yeah, let's end this with some prospect talk before you have to go get to
Wendell Carter Jr. is insane. Like, I've never been so impressed by a one-and-done big man, almost ever, man, besides Roy Cat. Like, that's the only other guy that comes to mind. I was like, yo, this guy's legit. And, I'm blown away, man. Like, how he looks like he's been playing for 10 years. Like, he just knows the game so well. Passing on double screening, rebounding superbly well, blocking shots, keeping the fouls relatively down, like just insane.
Are you in on Doncic as much as all NBA nerds are in on Doncic?
I don't know Doncic that well, but from what I've seen, I'm absolutely in on him, man.
In on Doncic. I'm buying like a Real Madrid EuroLeague Doncic jersey. Nice. I'm just gonna rep it. I'm huge on that guy. He's like Rubio with like. Like not Rubio the player, but Rubio the prospect,
kind of
just with a little bit better shooting stroke. I feel like.
Yeah, I think he can. He's crafty as hell, man. He can't pass. Rubio's a superb passer, but Doncic is like hard, man. Like again, overweight, but just so crafty and does whatever he wants. And like I said before, like his ability to get guys off balance more than makes up for his lack of speed. So he's from what I've seen, he looks so legit. I think the Hawks are on the right track, but I hate what they did.
Yeah, giving up that extra pick to get like a combo guard who is going to shoot 37%.
Like it's top 5. Like a non, like say they picks 8th or 9th. Like I would much rather have Doncic than whoever they get at 8 or 9.
Yeah, this is actually because I know this is so near and dear to your heart. This is the last thing we'll do. 76ers. Obviously, like a kind of insane last 12 months for the process, made the playoffs, but the Fultz thing and the Colangelo thing. What is the next step for the 76ers for the process for Fultz? Give me your 76ers prognosis.
I'm buying the Fultz talk, man. I really am. I believe in Drew Hanlon, like I said earlier. But the way their roster's put together, it's kind of tough, man. Like, it feels like they need to do what the Celtics did.
Yeah. You know?
Gather up your assets and for fantasy, like you make those, your roster's too deep in fantasy and you want to make ad drops and you want to cut has a guy on the waiver wire, like, you got to make a 3-for-1. So I think that's kind of where they're at. And I think picking up that 2021 pick is going to probably help facilitate that with the Mikal Bridges, Zaire Smith deal. So they've got to make a trade, man. Like, the way they are, they're just too deep. Like, they have, like, probably – and Wilson Chandler as well, they're expiring.
If Kawhi wasn't saying, you know, I'm going to L.A., they I think they would have already made the trade.
I think so, too. And even if it's not, like, I don't know. I don't know if I would give up Fultz, but it's worth it, though, I think, if you could maybe, like, I don't know. You obviously need to do some research. And plus, he's
hurt, too. I think it's worth giving up Fultz and a
pick. Yeah, I think so, too. I think the chances of keeping Kawhi and Fultz being, like, a star – are probably pretty similar, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it makes sense. They need another defensive wing. If they kind of struggle on the perimeter times when they weren't playing well, they need another guy who can shoot, like, that can play defense as well, like, unlike Bellinelli or Elisova. So, I think that's what they got to do, is whether it be Kawhi or whatever it is, but the way they are put together, I mean, sure, they're going to compete now, but they're not going to be in the Warriors class. And I think you're probably a legit shot. Like, where'd you put the odds to make it out of the East for them? Like, second or third?
I would say second behind the Celtics. But, like, I think people are not giving this – like, the Celtics could totally be a dumpster fire if Kyrie starts, you know, being moody and wants out.
Yeah.
And Hayward and Tatum and Brown, like, you know, they all need minutes and they're not going to do anything with Rozier. And Rozier was their hero in the playoffs, and now he's their fourth guard. Like, there are definitely – real problems with, like, obviously you would love to have a roster 1 through 15, all guys positive value contracts who can play, but the issue you have with that is you can't play 15 guys in the NBA.
Yeah,
and so that just does cause some problems inherently. Marcus Morris is with Hayward, Tatum, and Brown, like, what, he'll play 5 minutes a night? Like, he won't even be in the rotation.
He played well. He shocked me last year. I thought it was a bad pickup, but that was actually an amazing pickup.
Yeah, and like he's and that basically, I'm not going to see him in a Celtics jersey until someone gets hurt now.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. And that's another team too. Like, their roster construction is, like, great for baseball, but it's not great for basketball.
They should trade Horford, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's too valuable for what they do.
I think that if you pack it, like, just say if you did want to move for a star, Horford, one of the young guys, and a pick is the trade to do. Like, if, say, for example, Anthony Davis. That's
okay, then, yeah, okay. If it's for Davis, then yeah, sure. But if it's not for Davis, then...
Yeah, so I guess, like, anyone other than Anthony Davis, yeah.
I would trade pretty much anything for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Like, except for if you take Tatum off, anything. Like, literally anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. First-round picks, whatever, And like, Anthony Davis is, like, the future. We didn't talk about him at all, but he's so damn good, man. I think the Cavs the Warriors could be after him too, like with Clay or something. So.
Oh, of course they'll be after him. They'll sniff around. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good place. That's a good place to end it. You got to be off to write blurbs for the summer.
For a little bit more, yeah. We can hang for a little bit more if you want to tip me up for the other stuff.
Let's see. I don't know. I think we went through everything.
You have some trivia for me?
Let's do this. I've listened to you on pods for a while, and I don't know all that much about how you got into the NBA, how you got to Roto World, how this job, you know, how you fell in love with basketball. So let's hear that.
Yeah, so I've been a basketball fan since I can remember, man. I remember when I was, like, I don't know, 5 or 6, and my first basketball coach, he's like, put both thumbs in the same banana to shoot it. And always stuck with me. But yeah, I've just been obsessed with the NBA and tennis. I played a lot of tennis. But yeah, man, like, when I started writing, it just was like one day. I was like, I moved to Arizona. Didn't really have a lot of friends out here. And I was just like, all right, you just do something. Just start writing. So I was like, all right, I'll start writing. Find whoever would take my stuff. And just started writing, writing, writing. And eventually, like, Dr. A. Steve Alexander caught my articles. I met him through a mock draft. Like, I was like, hey, Steve, did you go on for a mock draft? This was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And yeah, so I made a connection and he just started reading my stuff. And one day, out of the blue, I got an email from him. I was like, hey, I want to bring you on for Roto World. And that is that. I was like, yep. Thought about it. I was actually going to get in a pharmacy. I had a bachelor's in biology, and I was like, all right, I was going to go to graduate school. And it's like, oh, nope, drop it. So that's, I've been writing about it since, going on like five, six years now. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. That's a, I guarantee you most people who write about fantasy sports don't have anything as solid to fall back on as a bachelor's in biology.
Right. Yeah. So I would never do, like, my friends who went to pharmacy school, like, I saw some of the stuff that they went through for grad school. Like, you know, I can't remember a thing for O-Chem. I can't, like, all of it's just like, it's like Spanish. Like, I spoke Spanish pretty well in my high school days. Now I can't remember. I could barely speak it.
Yeah.
It's
nothing.
Kind of use it or lose it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So going back to school would be almost impossible for me. I want to go back to school for, like, computer programming. Anyone who's listening who's young, like,
that's totally what I would do too.
I hate myself. I wish I had majored in computer programming. Like, if I had done that, I would like to think I'd be working in a front office for an NBA team.
Yeah, like, anytime I have definitely looked into, like, scouting jobs, and, like, just, like, anytime there is a listing from an NBA or an NFL team, I've looked at it, and it's all, like, 100% of the time, it's been, like, you need to have explicit knowledge of, like, R and, like, different coding languages and, like,
yeah, SQL. That's
not me. Wish it was, but it's not.
Yeah, I always look into it, but I haven't. Every year I'm like, yo, I want to learn something new. And I always say I want to learn, like, SQL and stuff, and I never do it. But, like, instead I, like, learn how to, like, make GIFs and edit stuff. And
there is like, legit, like, coding boot camps you can go to. Like, you go 9 to 5 for, like, 3 months, and you come out and you're, like, ready to go.
I should totally do that.
Yeah.
I could do that during August.
You could. You could legitimately go during August, come out, and be a whole new man by the time the season started.
Yeah, I may do that. That'd be pretty cool. I've always been, it's like, my ex-girlfriend, like, her much younger sister was going to school, and she's, like, in sports. I was like, yeah, definitely major computer programming. If you don't like it, okay, then sure, obviously don't do that, but
easy.
Having knowing computers, and, like, this is obviously late. Like, if you had known this at, like, 2002, pretty much everyone I knew who was computers in, like, 2002, 2003, 2004, like, they're all doted up, like, just because they picked the right field.
Yeah, they hit the wave at the right time.
For sure, yeah. It's kind of like Hanky, man. No one's giving up first round picks anymore. And Hanky picked them up when they were giving away for free.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest key in life is just this is some good advice for anyone. If you see a potential edge, if you see a 5% chance of something that you're good at or knowledgeable about becoming, like, a capital T thing, you should just go all in on that.
And actually, one thing I'll add to that too is, like I said, I love baseball, football, and basketball. And, like, I was like, oh, should I write about football? I was like, eh. Everyone's writing about football.
Everyone writes about football.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to write it. And that's why I decided to write about basketball. I was like, all right, I'm going to write about basketball. And, like, I wrote for football sometimes, but, like, that's kind of how I got going for basketball. I was like, all right, cool. Because, like, I seriously loved all three of those sports equally.
Yeah.
And, like, I had season tickets for the Jets for, like, 14 years. I was obsessed with football. But, just the way, like I said, more supply demand. So, like you said, that's a perfectly good way to say it. Like, find out what your niche is and just kind of go for it.
Like, I saw the edge in just, like, analytical football content, you know, like, 8 years ago or whatever, like, football in terms of, like, looking at numbers instead of just, like, opinions. And that was like my thing, as I was like, I'm going to go all in on this for, like,
for sure. Yeah. You beat it too, man. It's recognizing what needs more coverage.
Well, and, like, I would say there's not even anything that special about me compared to someone who has 800 Twitter followers and fantasy Twitter, but, like, I just got there first, and also you just never quit. If you, like, I took, you know, 8 months off from being in fantasy or whatever, 'cause I, like, got a real job. But, like, I just decided I need to do this just 'cause it's fun. Like, I can't imagine a world where I'm not talking about sports in some semi-professional way.
And you got to be competitive about it too. Like,
yeah.
I always want to say I want to know more about the NBA than everyone. Like, I read every single story that I can. So I'm like, all right, you think you know more about the NBA than me? Like, all right. And I can. That's one guy we're training too. I was like, dude, you got to be able to read as much as you can. Like, when you get home from work, like, your way to wind down or whatever you're doing is just, like, relax and soak up stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. For sports, you have to know everything that you want to cover as well as you should. So Yeah, you gotta love it. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I want to do it for, if you love it for fun. Like, and like, it's kind of crazy. This one other thing too. Like, people, how do you feel about the whole like working for free thing?
So I did it when I started, but I would not recommend people do it.
I do and don't. Like,
it's a very hard thing to
say. You need to have a job though, but like, you're pretty much gonna have to sacrifice fun. And like, actually, when I first started writing for free, like, my girlfriend hated me at the time. Like, she was like, oh, let's go out on Friday. I'm like, nah, NBA's on. I want to write about it and watch the games. And like, she hated me for it. Like, it's ultimately why we broke up. But yeah, you could, because you got to, like, unless your parents are rich or something, like, you can't. Like, I would work all day and I would just like start writing because it was fun to me and like, I really cared about it and it was interesting. You know, it's something new with your time. And I got something out of it. Like, it was cool. So, I'm down. Like, another thing, too, I want to say is, like, my writing, like, 7-8 years ago is crap compared to what it is now.
Compared, yeah. Because you learn on the job. You evolve.
Yeah, exactly. So that's also why I think just practice is everything. So, like, if you're going to write for free, make sure you're getting something out of it. Even if it's just for you. If you're on your own site, even. Just, like, start your own site, worst case, and just, like, build from there.
Yeah. That's what I did. I started my own site in 2012. That was how I got started. Yep. No one was paying me to do that.
Yep. That's it, man. Just practice. If anyone wants to get into this field, it's definitely a tough nut to crack, but if you outwork everyone, you're going to get in there. Like, if you, like, even if you're, if you love it and you will outwork anyone, if you spend 2, 3, 4 years in it, like, I guarantee you, you'll get some interest from some people.
Yeah, that is true. I don't even know where I would begin if I wanted to start now. It just would seem exhausting. The answer would just be to work smarter than everyone else.
It's true. Yeah. You could just start it, like, even just here and there, like SB Nation. I worked with SB Nation for a little bit. They were pretty cool.
I used to post my like blogs that I would write for free on SB Nation fan sites. Yep, like, yep. If you went on a real deep dive of me across the internet, you would like, I would post my articles on forums. Like, it's a grind, but like,
yeah,
but you gotta, that's how you gotta do it though.
That's how you grow. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Good positive note to end on.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone, Mike, tell people where they can find all of your work, man.
I'm at rotorworld.com. I do the NBA site. I'm mostly a blurb guy. So if you read a blurb, it's really based on stats. It's probably me writing it or rotation. Definitely check out the Rotorworld blurbs. Mike S. Gallagher on Twitter. I'm on there pretty much all the time. And I do the Rotorworld Fantasy Basketball Podcast, which has been pretty well. So if you're into fantasy, DFS, or even just overall, we try to just get as much news out there for you guys to listen and become better fans and better fantasy players.
Boom. Everyone follow him, check him out, listen to the Roto World pod, and I will be back sometime next week.